WEEI Afternoons, Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway Studios, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series. Hurry in for your last chance to get employee pricing for all during the Great American Sales Event. We will, in the next few minutes, be talking to Mike Monaco, who will be on the broadcast tonight for WEEI. I think he just finished up with Alex Cora's pregame media availability, so we'll see if we get any updates and information out of that.
I got a solid question I think I want to ask.
I hope so.
Can I test
Maybe
it
two.
On, can I test it on you guys first?
Okay, sure.
And
what if we tell you it sucks?
Well, then I won't ask it to.
Okay, go ahead.
So you're gonna you're helping me out here. What do you guys think in these 9-19 games that they're 9-19 in one-run games?
Yes.
Red Sox.
Not
okay?
good.
Don't you think – so that it's a team that clearly has no room for error, has a small margins – for error, right?
Right. Which is crazy with how many errors they make, but yeah.
Right. So it's if margin for error, there aren't the athletic team, correct?
That's
supposedly,
what we've been told.
Yeah. That's what we've been told.
For
yes.
sure.
Doesn't that fit the mold of what a small ball team would do? Athletic, no margin for errors in a lot of one-run games.
Got to manufacture runs. Yeah.
Yet they're the worst at small ball. Why is it that a team that needs to be a small ball team doesn't even know the first thing about being small ball, playing some ball ball.
Drive line.
I know.
drive line.
It's like watching the Celtics, though, with the three-pointer all year. It's like, it's not, yeah. this isn't
You're
working.
You're not good at shooting the three. Why do you keep shooting the three?
Yes.
No, it's very, or like situationally, like we talked about in the playoffs, when you blow those leads, like you can shoot threes certain times, but there's certain situational times you don't just have to shoot threes. And I think the Red Sox are – we talked about it the other day. We were talking about their strikeout rate and home runs. And sort of the idea is if with a lot of teams, well, we're swinging for the fences. The strikeouts kind of come with doing business that way. I think they've talked themselves into drive line, home runs, because they are a top 10 team in home runs, I believe, right now. But I think they've forced themselves into that world. But where the naturally – I'm with you, Ted. I think they're a young – athletic, aggressive, can run the bases, yeah. bunt, take an extra base here kind of team. But I don't know that Craig Breslow, Mr. Boston Globe, look myself in the mirror and the organization and Sportsology, his system, I don't know if you know, he fancies himself a systems builder, Craig Breslow. The system he has built with his boys from Driveline doesn't buy into what you're saying right now, doesn't believe in. Because my guess is analytical models say small ball's stupid. Small balls. Same reason Joe Mazzulla shoots threes, because analytical models say three beats two every time if you shoot 37%.
That was a line in Moneyball. Never bunt.
Right.
Never bunt and rarely steal.
Okay. First of all, you should never say never. Stupid. I don't like any philosophy that says never do anything.
Okay. Thanks, Dad. Got it.
Right?
Yes.
Why would you ever say never? And not like Trevor Story went 10 years without bunting
or
whatever the hell it was. Like, yeah, always Joe Mazzulla, always shoot the three? No, don't always shoot the three.
Good lesson.
Yeah, life's lessons. It's the little things we do here when we're waiting for Mike Monaco to join us on WEEI Afternoons.
And spewing life's lessons, man.
I liked your question, by the way, but if he has the answer to that question, he's in the wrong line of work. Because that is the question for the Boston Red Sox.
So I'm going to ask
it. It's a good question. It's absolutely, and there's plenty of questions with this baseball team coming off the losing streak and the Devers trade. And, you know, I feel like every couple weeks we talk about, this is a really big week for the Boston Red Sox, or this is a really big series, or this is a really big homestand, this is a really big road trip.
But we mean it now.
I really mean, I think this is a big homestand and week for the Boston Red Sox.
You've got to go 4-2 at least over the next six to get back to 500. You can't continue, like, sorry, you've squandered all of the wiggle room. You have whizzed away all your chances to blow one-run games. You're 40-42. You start off the second half of the season with an L. I mean, they can't, like, what do they got, like 2 weeks before the All-Star break? If you can't get a couple games above 500 before the All-Star break, how in the hell are you going to validate everything Passan and Heyman have said about the Red Sox being buyers?
Dan Ball, what you got?
So, yeah, to Fitzy's point, you have 16 games before the All-Star break. You get Toronto for three, Cincinnati for three, Washington, Colorado, and then four with Tampa right before it. I mean, those are...
Gotta go at least 10-6. Gotta go at least 10-6.
Yeah, I feel like I shouldn't even say this phrase out loud, but those are a lot of winnable games that you have on that schedule.
But you know what I'm going to do, what I always do? I did this with the Patriots when we had our fight. Don't you think those other teams look at the Red Sox and go,
they do.
Those are winnable games against 100%. The Boston Red Sox. Like, the Angels are a perfect example. They got into the playoff picture because they played the Red Sox. Joining us now here on WEEI Afternoons and joining you on your broadcast tonight on WEEI of Red Sox Blue Jays is play-by-play man Mike Monaco. Mike, how are we doing today?
Guys, doing great. It's good to be back at Fenway. It's been like a month for me since I've been here with the Red Sox, so eager to dive back in, and a lot has changed in that time.
Yeah, a lot has changed, and it feels like it ebbs and flows. We were just discussing, feels like every week or two we're saying this is a huge homestand, this is a huge stretch of games, this is a huge, you know, series, whatever it is. But is that even more true now? I mean, we're past the midpoint of the season. We got a, you know, the All-Star break and then the trade deadline on the horizon. Does this team need to get its ish together at some point? And if they're going to be what they keep telling us they want to be, which is a good baseball team, don't they need to get their ish together at some point?
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, you guys are exactly right. Like, how long does it feel like we have been saying that? And yeah, like, no better time than right now. But I do think, you know, the closer you get to the trade deadline, and we've all heard what Craig Breslow, who's down on the field right now watching the Red Sox work on the field, we've all heard what he's talked about in the last few days about adding, and what he has said in the last 2.5 weeks since the Raffy trade. I do think it's important. And, you know, you guys just said it, and Alex Cora just said this when we talked with him pregame. Like, it's been up and down, and it has been a roller coaster. And, you know, you got to just pitch, defend, and run the bases well at first. And, you know, let's start with that and then kind of go from there. Sure. And I think cleaning up, you know, so many of the fundamentals and just, you know, ironing out some of those mistakes that we've all seen pop up here in this first half of the season, that would be a great starting point.
So, Mike, I've been told this is an excellent question to ask you, so I'm gonna ask you. The Red Sox are 9-19 and we in these one-run games, okay? But, and I sit here and I go, all right, so this team clearly has not a lot of room for error with all the issues that they're having. So small margins to win these games. They are an athletic team. And those two things right there, Mike, tell me, this isn't a team that should be better and more proficient at small ball, at managing runs and trying to, you know, get manufacture, I should say, runs in these tight games. Yet they don't adhere to that philosophy. And it maddens me. Is there something to that? Or do you think the same way? Or am I totally off on that?
No, I don't think you're off. And to be honest, like, and Alex has said this, Alex Cora, like, talks about wanting to play a different way. And he said it right away when Casas got hurt at the beginning of May, that immediately, you know, before Romy Gonzalez got hurt, that it was going to change the way they would play offensively. I think they want to do that. I think it really helps when you're getting on base at a high clip at the top of the lineup, when a guy like Jarren Duran is going at the best that we have seen, you know, in parts of the last few years, not, you know, the way he's going right now the last 3.5 weeks where, you know, it's a sub-200 batting average over that time. So I think you know, like, theoretically, I think it's a way they want to play, and they definitely do have the athletes to do it. And I mean, you look at what they have on the roster and what they can throw out there in any lineup, it's certainly a way they want to play. I mean, Duran's in there tonight. You got Rafaela's speed. You got Hamilton in there tonight. Like, there are guys you can do stuff with. Story, of course, when he's swinging the bat well and getting aboard. I think in theory it's something they want to do, but it comes down with getting aboard, like base runners. And again, it sounds simple, but yeah, start with that and then kind of let the offense take shape. I don't think it's going to be heavy sack bunting. Like, that's not the era of baseball that we're in, but it can be a tool in the tool belt for the offense.
Mike, obviously Will Fleming gets very emotional when calling the games. Probably good for him that he gets a couple days here to take a breath and step back in a season that is very emotional, unpredictable, and frustrating as well. He seems to really, you know, get bent out of shape by just about everything that happens. The home runs, the errors, the mental mistakes. So what is it about this team that frustrates you the most that you would love to see? Like, that first something, if you were in charge in the locker room, the first thing we need to eliminate is blank.
I think I love seeing good defense and strike throwing. So, like, you know, let's limit walks and let's play fundamentally sound defense, you know, wherever that is on the diamond. You know, outfield throws to the right base, you know, first base, you know, knowing when to come off the bag and let the second baseman handle the ball or come off and field it yourself. Like, those types of things, I guess, are my pet peeves as a baseball fan just in general. But yeah, there's many ways that I can't match Will Fleming, but that is certainly one of them. His baseball sense is really unrivaled, especially for a play-by-play guy. And I spent, you know, 3 years in Pawtucket with him and learning from him firsthand and interned for him once upon a time. So I've seen it throughout. But yeah, he's got me beat in many ways.
Mike Monaco, WEEI's broadcast tonight of Blue Jays Red Sox, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Mike, I don't know if you heard the audio, but Craig Breslow was on the Greg Hill Show yesterday, and he admitted that looking at the issues in defense and base running forced him to look at the whole organization, and he realized at all levels we have issues with base running and defense, and they need to change some things developmentally. How concerning is that? That they are basically, we complain about the major league talent that they're not ready, but they're developing them in a way that they're not ready even at the level they're at. And how do you fix that?
Yeah, that's interesting. And yeah, I saw those comments. I kind of look at it a different way. I find it refreshing if someone admits, hey, like, we need to do better at this. And especially when it's like your processes that you're mm-hmm. self-evaluating and say that need to change. I think you can do it during the season, especially at the minor league level. Like, there is so much time, having spent 5 years in minor league baseball, there is so much time over the course of a season for individual and even team-wide instruction on what needs to happen, where it's a little bit different. You know, in the major leagues, like the Red Sox are hitting on the field right now. You're not going to see, you know, advanced base running drills at this point. You can go over those things for sure. And Kyle Hudson does a great job with those types of things. But I do think it's refreshing to hear, hey, you know, we need to take stock of where we're at as an organization. You know, I was just talking with Alex Cora down in the dugout about Brian Bayo's command. Like, it's been a lot better in June, and you can work on strike throwing. Like, it sounds like you're either a strike thrower or you're not. You either have fastball command or you don't, but you can work on those things, and they are young guys, and I know we're in a win now market for sure, and that's what the major league level demands at all times. But there is room, especially for the younger players, to kind of to grow and to learn new things when it comes to base running or whatever else.
Hey, Mike. So Rafi's been with the Giants for the last 9 games. And in those 9 games, their record is 3-6 with Rafi. I'm curious just your thoughts. I mean, do you think the Red Sox are a better team now that they don't have Rafi? What are your thoughts on just the impact he's having there and what it means to not have him on this team anymore?
Yeah, I'll take you guys back just to where I was when it went down with my day job at ESPN. I was out at the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska, and we were 3 minutes to air, and I got the first text 3 minutes to air that was just Devers and like 4 question marks, and then like 3 more popped in those 3 minutes. So I you know, like everyone, I didn't see it coming. To answer your question, no, I don't think they're a better team without him. I think there's certainly more flexibility, but look, man, like you take out that bat, we all know what he's been through the years. You take out that bat, and it's just a glaring hole in the offense for sure. I don't read too much into the first, you know, 9 games with the Giants and that sort of sample size. I mean, he's had some games where he's really swung it well. He had, what, 3 hits yesterday, I think. A couple extra base hits, a home run. So, I think it's a little too early to put stock into that. But, yeah, like, it is different, you know. Like I said, like, I haven't called a Red Sox game in 4 weeks. And you fill out a lineup card, and even knowing what the deal was, man, it looks different, you know, not penciling in Rafi to the heart of the lineup.
Yeah, Mike, the Sox have 1 game with more than 5 runs scored, I believe, in the last 2 weeks. 5 runs feels like a dozen. 2 runs or fewer seems to almost be the 2 or 3 runs seems to be the norm now. You got the biggest and best bat supposedly now in San Francisco. Bregman won't be back until after the All-Star break. So if there was one guy this very young and sometimes sporadic offense could lean on as they try to get things going during this very pivotal pre-All-Star game stretch, who would you fancy that to be?
For me, it's Jarren Duran. I mean, like, we've seen what a better version of Trevor Story can do for the offense in June. But I just think, and like, Alex Cora has talked about this anecdotally, but I think the numbers bear it out if you were to really dive deep on him. Like, when Duran goes and when he's setting the table and when he's able to run kind of full bore on the base paths, the offense is just different. And, you know, I said it earlier, but kind of the stretch that he's been in here recently, you know, he's trying to get back in gear. He's 6 for his last 43 over the last dozen games or so. There's 1 stolen base in there. There's 3 extra base hits. Like, the offense is just different when he's humming and when he is kind of terrorizing people on the base paths, and when every ground ball through the right side feels like it could be a hustle double, it's different. I mean, certainly we'd all like to see Roman Anthony get hot and be what everyone still expects him to be in short order after these first 2.5 weeks. Story, like I said, Abreu, you know, has a sense of being streaky, but the highs are very high. But for me, it comes down to Duran.
Mike Monaco, we can't pay you, but I'm going to ask you to be our correspondent. You said you were down with Alex Cora for his pregame media session. Some updates on Yoshida, Houck, Slayton, some of those guys that he had there?
Yeah, we're getting some, I would say, encouraging news. Like Masataka Yoshida is still coming along. That stuff is encouraging to hear. Alex Bregman has started baseball activities. He did some hitting. Masa could go on a rehab assignment, it sounds like, early next week. Marcelo Meyer on the bereavement list. He's not going to be back, it doesn't sound like, until Monday. Justin Slayton, I think, is scheduled to play catch tomorrow, is what Alex Cora said. So, I said then when we did our pregame interview that fans will hear coming up, I guess, in a couple of hours. But, man, like, the life of a manager is interesting. You spend so much time answering injury questions. It is crazy. Like, he's doing it pregame, postgame. He's doing it with knuckleheads like me. But yeah, there's a lot to report. I do think the Yoshida stuff is encouraging. And man, like, it's, you know, it's kind of been a running joke, like, where in the world is Masa? But you put that bat back in the lineup, I think we all have, and I've been guilty of this, kind of forget, like, at his best, what he's been capable of doing. Like, when he was first up with the Red Sox, when they made the signing, and down the stretch, like, he's had some really good moments. And I think the way you look at the lineup now, man, getting that guy back would be a really big boost for this offense.
Mike, before I let you go, I got to pass on the magic and gold that is our guy Dan Ball. He said you're officially our correspondent. You see what he did there?
Whoa!
You see what he did there? Yeah, that's classic dad humor for the youngest guy involved in this show. So I don't know what to make of that, Mike. Have fun tonight on the broadcast. Hopefully it's a win. Hopefully it's some offense. Hopefully Bayo goes six like he's been doing. Let's have a fun night at Fenway Park. Can we agree to that?
I can agree to that, guys. Thank you for having me on for my maiden voyage, and I promise you I'll try to bring some Fleming caliber emotion tonight.
You do a great job, Mike. So keep it up.
Thanks,
man.
Mike.
Good luck.
A good one.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Mike Monaco, tune in tonight to WEEI to hear him on the broadcast of Blue Jays and Red Sox. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's also the night of the NHL draft. The Bruins have a top 10 pick. They also suddenly, sort of like Jaylen Brown and Derek White on draft night, there's suddenly these little trade rumblings for Pasta, David Pastrnak, rumblings coming out of Europe. Could he be going to... Well, I'm not going to tell you, but it's a team you're really not going to like that wants David Pastrnak. We'll talk about that up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
No, I think we have to have an eye towards the best player who, you know, when and if he gets to the National Hockey League. Obviously, you don't want the if, and that's the case when you're picking in the top part of the draft. You realize you have to take a player that you forecast of being, you know, having an impact, have the ability to impact the NHL lineup. That doesn't mean year one. Sometimes it's not even year two. You know, you get into year three and you're hoping that, you know, the development has taken a natural course, but everybody sort of matures physically and mentally at a different rate. It's not a sprint. Right? You know, we want the longevity and the biggest impact we can find.
What? That's Don Sweeney putting Ted Johnson to sleep and honestly annoying me. Like, just you have a top 10 pick and you're downplaying it. You have a pick you traded that became a first-round pick in the Brad Marchand deal that's a couple years away, but now you're telling me I have to wait a couple years to make the pick, and then you're going to wait 3 years before you expect. Yep. So, like, 6 years from now, we'll get return on Brad Marchand's trade. You know, you know what Florida got out of Brad Marchand?
What's that?
Stanley Cup.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, this big cup thing. It's really cool. And then you drink a lot and you party and you have parades and you have fun and it's all joy.
Do you guys have a response? I did. Can you go back, Stiz, and just play the very beginning, the opening comment from
We have to?
From Don Sweeney, just kind of how he goes, leans into the, how he starts the conversation. Just
no,
listen
I
to
think
Don
we
Sweeney.
We have to have an eye towards the best player.
It's like,
when
it's
if,
like,
no, I think we have to have an eye towards the best player. No, I think we have to
this
have
is absolutely nuts,
best, No, I think we have to have an eye towards the best player.
So I'm just like, you know what? There's Don Sweeney. I almost wanted to tune out.
So we have not discussed this.
No.
Dan Ball and I heard that audio when we were setting up in here at 1:30 and had this same gosh damn discussion and basically like, his tone and his delivery is like, just like...
Does it get you excited?
No.
Nothing
it's freaking draft night. You have a top 10 pick. Yeah. You should be like, this is an opportunity for the next great Bruin to join the organization. Like,
So you like, as Don Sweeney, Andy. No. Let me ask you a couple questions as Don Sweeney real quick. Are you excited for the draft tonight?
No.
No.
Do you think you're going to draft a good player tonight?
No.
Are you excited about Marco Sturm being the new head coach?
No, Cam picked him.
Well, you guys have gone another level with it. But like, yeah, just like, come
life's
on.
Life's not that bad, Don. You got a really cool job in sports, and it's about energy and effort and attitude and compete level.
It's the exact thing that this organization hasn't had with you at the helm.
It's so funny that struck you.
It did. Same way.
The same way.
No,
same way.
No.
Do you think you'll be here in a couple years?
No, let's face it, though. Hey, if you guys remember, but this is the Bruins. The season ends. They don't have a press conference until a week after the season, right?
Right.
What happened recently? They just hired a coach, and then they wait a week to announce the coach.
Yes.
Like, this is the Bruins.
Different pace. It's a different pace, eh? Yeah. It's hockey. It's hockey. It's from Canada.
It's unbelievable that it's draft night in the NHL, and it's a Friday night, the weekend before 4th of July, just after the NBA. It's so typical NHL.
Just bury it.
Oh, jeez.
So it is draft night, Fitzy, which is okay. Mm. They have a top 10 pick. We'll see. Don's not that excited.
I got like 10 TVs set up ready to go. Oh, yeah. It's like a Buffalo Wild Wings in here.
Can I pat myself on the back for a second? I've never asked before, so why start now?
I was going to say, what's going to stop you?
I actually felt like I was doing really good show prep work the other night. Maybe Monday or Tuesday, ESPN had like a following the prospects of the NHL draft, like 2-hour show. You know, I watched it. I felt really proud of myself.
Wow.
I was learning about all these, like the kid from Canada, the kid from Long Island.
Was done drawing?
No, wait. You're a hockey guy. Why are you making fun of me?
Well, teach us. What did you learn? Teach us something.
No, they're all the same.
Who are we picking?
I got no idea. He doesn't know. How am I supposed to know?
Leif Hockerson.
The kid from BC is good, and he might go to the Islanders. He's from Long Island, and there's this whole campaign there where they have magnets on cars, posters everywhere. Is it Hagens?
James Hagens, yeah. Hagens. Very good player.
So Hagens to the Islanders. Hagens stay home. They got this whole thing.
So, Dan, what is our top needs? What would you say our top needs are?
Everything.
You got to add to the offense. You need to add a top 6 forward tonight if you can. I'm still rooting for trade down, trade out. Hopefully trade with Dallas for American forward Jason Robertson, point per game player. He needs a new contract. You have the flexibility. So if you can make that move, that's the move I would do.
Did you notice he just turned into Mel Kiper?
He's on afternoons, that guy.
The American forward is a point per game. That was well done, Mel Kiper of hockey. So you think they need offense now?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
What if I told you that there is a report that has been confirmed out of the Czech Republic according to @DenikSport, which I've never heard of, but I don't follow a lot of people from the Czech Republic, so that would make sense. Florida, you ever hear of them?
Yeah.
Have you heard of them recently?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they won the Stanley Cup. They also did so with your captain.
Yes, hotbed, Florida.
Just confirmed. Apparently, they're not done pillaging this minor league organization that is the Bruins, that is a feeder system for other teams, apparently.
But they got new jerseys.
Florida has a great interest in David Pastrnak.
That's crazy. Crazy.
Obviously, the price is very high. Hey. Notice it doesn't say would be very high. It says the price is very high. However, Bill Zito is a wizard. He runs the Panthers. Has pieces to do that. Pastrnak has a no movement clause, but it looks like that shouldn't be a problem.
This is interesting, actually.
What the hell is that?
It sounds crazy, Dan. But your first instinct, what is
that? Suggests to me that if somebody in the Czech is speaking to David Pastrnak, this happens with the European guys, like they will go home, talk to reporters in their native tongue, and give more information there.
Hampus Lindholm did that. Like, isn't the reason why we found out he had a broken foot is because he went back and talked to like the Frozen Post and told them like, yeah, I played the season with a broken foot.
But wait, so. NBA draft night, I was hearing rumors about Jaylen Brown being traded, right? It was everybody's bidding on Jaylen. Right. I'd be more pissed off at this. Like, 2 days ago, was it, that they unveiled their new jerseys with this fancy video and everything? Who was in the video?
David Pastrnak and Charlie McAvoy.
Okay, well, I would actually trade Charlie McAvoy if somebody wanted to trade for him.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. It sounds crazy, but would you listen to what they had to say? Or would you just say,
no,
don't even bother calling?
No, you're supposed to always listen, aren't you, Ted? If you're a GM, your job?
Yeah, I am.
Yes, I believe in that. You always listen, but...
Because the moves they made, you know, at the trade deadline last year suggested, they call it, what were they, not a reload? Yeah, a reload.
It wasn't a rebuild.
That is a rebuild if you send Pasta. Yeah, you're absolutely. Basically, we're not reloading, we're rebuilding.
Because he was the guy that Dan Ball kept trying to convince me was like a Hart Trophy candidate. He should be MVP, even though they stink. He keeps scoring all the numbers.
If you want to downplay that, that's fine.
Real quick, isn't stylistically he's like the opposite of what they want? Like he doesn't want to mix it up.
Muck it up.
He's a Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is a non-traditional Panther, just like he was a non-traditional Bruin.
But you know what? Scoring plays. All right. You can score. You can help a team. But it just Wait, so the Panthers are just going to be picking and choosing who they want from the Bruins to help them win cup after cup as they become a dynasty down there?
That's what good organizations
do. You didn't hear about
that? The hell is going on in hockey where Florida is the hotbed of winning and Boston is the minor league team that's just going to serve? This, I don't know if there's truth to this.
But here's the thing, not the crazy. Do you think you're even close to being what Florida is right now?
No.
So what is? What if you trade Pasta and get some big call back that's, you know, you're years away from being what even Florida is right now? So you're like, why have Pasta in his prime years when it's going to all go to waste?
Because I want to be entertained and competitive and believe I have a chance.
I'm just throwing it out. I'm just saying.
If you trade Pasta, we've been talking about white flags with the Devers trade, and then if you traded Durant or Bregman, this is a white flag. It's a spoked B flag. It's a black and gold flag.
I'm just
flag.
Saying,
the whole
think
damn
about
thing.
It, Andy. Think.
I don't want to think. I want to watch a decent hockey team, and if you trade Pasta, you're not going to be a decent hockey team. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we got to get back to the Boston Red Sox. Not only do they play at Fenway Park, not only do they have Bayo on the mound, but the leader of Driveline, who apparently runs the whole damn organization, it seems. Well, let's just say he's more reactive and angry on Twitter than Andy Hart ever was. I keep it polite and professional. Driveline people apparently don't. We'll talk about that next here on WEEI Afternoons.